Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading, Mark chapter 10. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." This is our text. It's striking to me that the main character in the gospel reading, aside from Jesus today, is a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. What could we possibly have to learn from a blind beggar? Bartimaeus is about the last person in the world you would ask to teach you anything. He's not rich or successful. He isn't well educated or especially wise. He has no skill or trade. He isn't popular or good looking. He has no followers, no website, no podcast, no book deal. So why in the world would we look to Bartimaeus to teach us anything? There's only one thing he knows, and what he knows is this. He knows how to beg. He knows how to beg. That's what he does, day after day after day. He sits by the side of the road with his cloak spread out in his lap, and he asks those who pass by for some benevolence, for alms, charity, for a coin tossed his way, or whatever they can spare. He begs. I venture to guess that it would take an awful lot for us to do something like that. None of us wants to be beggars. Many of us would rather die than ask for or rely on help from someone else. You know who you are. We want to earn our way. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to be independent. Maybe it's the old Puritan work ethic still in the New England air. Maybe it's our pride and stubbornness. Maybe it's embarrassment or not wanting to rely on someone else or be a bother. Ask for help? No way. It hasn't gotten that bad yet, don't worry. That would humble us for sure. To ask for help, I'd have to admit my weakness and my frailty. I'd have to admit my suffering and my hurt. I'd have to admit that I can't do it. That I'm not enough. That I don't know it all. That I'm struggling with life. When what I really want to say is just this: I'm fine, and I'll manage on my own. Thank you very much. I bet Bartimaeus wanted to say that too, don't you think? He wanted to say it, but he didn't, because he knew it wasn't true. Bartimaeus was blind, but he was not that blind. Not blind to his own condition. Not blind to his own need. He knew he couldn't do it himself. And that's exactly what we have to learn from him today. We could learn how to beg. We could learn to see ourselves as beggars. We could learn to depend on the kindness and generosity of others, and especially on the kindness and generosity of that one, Jesus, the son of David. All those long years of begging for Bartimaeus, every last day sitting by the side of that road, it finally came to a climax on this day as Jesus and the disciples and a great crowd leave Jericho, headed for Jerusalem. That's the roadside where Bartimaeus sits and begs. And what does it mean to beg? In our prayers, we sometimes say, "We beg you, O God," or "We beseech you," or "We implore you." Why in the world would we beg beseech or implore God? It's a good question. We pray like that not because of who God is, but because of who we are. I want to say that again. We pray that way not because of who God is. That is, God doesn't need to be begged. But we pray that way because of who we are. We are beggars. We are all beggars. After Martin Luther died in February of 1546, a handwritten note was reportedly found in his pocket. Someone who was there pulled it out and read it, and on it were written the words, "We are all beggars." It is true. That statement is a statement about our spiritual need. Luther meant that we have nothing to give God, but everything to receive from him. Luther was pointing out that before God, all of us have empty hands. Our need is great. We aren't independent. We aren't self-sufficient. We can't earn our way no matter what we do. We depend on generosity. We depend on the kindness of God. I mentioned at the beginning of service, before service, that today we have the joy of welcoming 7 new members into our congregation. It's no stretch to say to our new members that you are joining a community of beggars. I know that doesn't sound like much of a marketing strategy, but it's the truth. Welcome to a church of beggars. And I think that you're joining us, I've had a chance to get to know you, I think that you're joining us because you know that you're a beggar too. No matter how much we have in this world, before God, we're just a bunch of blind Bartimaeuses. We all have the same need. We're all sitting by the same roadside. We're all crying out together for the same mercy. And I should add, we always have room for more beggars, even if the pews get tight. So we all join Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, and sit with him today. He's sitting by the road when he hears that Jesus is coming, and that gets him really excited. He's never met Jesus. He's never even seen Jesus, but he has heard of him, and he believes in him, and he has a simple, childlike faith. He trusts that Jesus can help him. So when Bartimaeus hears that he's coming by, he prays by crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Such a little prayer. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Just 2 parts to that prayer. First, he addresses our Lord. He calls out to the Lord. And second, he asks for mercy. The Psalms teach us to pray like this. This is how the tax collector who stood far off at the temple, beating his breast out of humility, not even willing to look up to heaven, it's how that tax collector prayed. This is how the Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed prayed. "Lord, have mercy." This is what faith in Christ looks like. It looks like a beggar calling out for mercy. Though we have not seen our Lord, we also believe in him. And in that way, we too are blind, because we do not see our Lord with our physical eyes, but we see him rather with our ears. Faith comes by hearing. And this little prayer of faith, "Lord, have mercy," is a prayer for us to know and to use. I'd urge you to keep this prayer on your lips. "Lord, have mercy." Join Bartimaeus in praying it without ceasing. And it's especially helpful when words fail us. Perhaps you've been in one of those moments where something has happened or you've heard something and your words fail you and you can't pray and you don't know how to pray as you ought. Well, the Holy Spirit would put into your mouth the words of the blind beggar, "Lord, have mercy." And you know these words. We sing them and we speak them so often in our liturgy. "Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us." Kyrie eleison, the ancient words in Greek. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. And we say, "Lord, have mercy." Christ, the Lamb of God, we sing, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You can pray this prayer anywhere, at any time. You can pray it from your chair at home, in the car, at school, even while working. You can pray this prayer while sitting in a waiting room, or standing in a checkout line, or while you're on hold on the phone. When you see an accident, when you hear of an illness, when you receive bad news or hear of a tragedy, you can pray, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Learn to pray this simple prayer to Jesus, and it will go with you through all of life. Teach this simple prayer to your children and to your grandchildren, and it will be there for them at the hour of their death. And that's when we'll know what it is to pray like a beggar, to pray as one who depends entirely on the mercy of God. Lord, have mercy. This is not a cry of despair. It's a cry for salvation. It may come from a beggar, but it's directed toward the Savior. It's not a word tossed on the wind or thrown out into the void. That prayer rings in Jesus' ears. When Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is coming, he doesn't wallow in his beggarliness. He doesn't roll around in sorrow and in sin. He simply cries out for mercy. And when they rebuke him, when they tell him to stop, when they say it's no use, just go back to your seat at the side of the road begging, you know what he does? He gets louder. And he says it again. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He will not allow anyone to steal that prayer from his lips as he looks to Jesus with the eyes of faith. Even as we sit with Bartimaeus, as we cry out with Bartimaeus for mercy, we are invited to look where he looks. Whether our faith is as strong as his faith or our prayer is as passionate as his prayer, that isn't the point. We have one and the same Savior. The Jesus who stopped by the side of the road and restored that blind man's sight and saved him is the Jesus who took the road here this morning. He comes by the place where you're sitting. He hears every prayer that you pray, whether spoken or silent, and he brings his mercy, brings his charity, brings his benevolence. His is the name above every name, the name of God in human flesh. He is the Son of God, the Christ, HaMessiach, as we say at Living Nativity. He is the God of all mercies who delights to show mercy to those who call upon him. The road Jesus followed was the road of mercy. You could call it Mercy Street. It led him right past Bartimaeus, and then it led him on to Jerusalem. And in answer to the beggar's prayer for mercy, in answer to our prayers for mercy, because of our great need, our Lord went on and took his place upon the cross. The Son of David ascended his throne. And there on the cross, he was treated worse than any beggar. He was despised. He was scorned. He had no beauty that we should look at him. And he was shown no mercy. He was given no charity. You see, the mercy and generosity of God comes to you at his expense. For Jesus' blood, through earth and skies, forever, mercy, mercy cries. We're told that after Bartimaeus was healed, he followed Jesus on the way. We too are following Jesus on the way. That's what it means to be a disciple, a student of Jesus. He leads, and we follow. And we can learn that from Bartimaeus as well. And you know, as I do, that Jesus' road didn't end at the cross. But from the cross, it continued through the dark tomb and into the light beyond. And so also for you. Through baptism, we were crucified with Christ, but we were also raised with him to walk in newness of life. So our feet have been set on a new road, and we follow a new path. Our eyes have been opened through Christ that we may follow on his way. A beggar's eyes that see him as our Lord and our Redeemer. And he opens our eyes to see other beggars as well, others who are blind like us, others who are suffering, and invite them on the way as well. And we can teach them to pray like Bartimaeus, Lord, have mercy. And we can point them to the Savior that we have, Jesus Christ. And where does this way end? Where does the road lead when we follow Jesus? The road goes all the way to the New Jerusalem. It leads through this life into the life of the world to come. You might say that there's a final turn in the road, one last bend, where the darkness ends at last and the light floods through forever. Perhaps you know what that's like, maybe on a hike through the woods at some point, where the darkness seems to cover the light and hide it from your eyes, and you round a corner and you see ahead of you the light flooding in. So it will be. And the road will lead to the streets of gold, and the cries of mercy will turn into shouts of praise. And so we follow behind Jesus, and we look at the journey's end, beggars though we are, praying for mercy, looking to the Savior, and welcoming other beggars. Now we see in part, but soon, like Bartimaeus, we shall see face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.